We're coming to you deep from the hills of Tennessee, where the generators today are powered by the fuel of sour mash still. Get that cigar away from Ted, please. Sour mash still, the fuel of the 2009 Field Day QSO broadcast. And now, here is your host, Ted Randall.
Hey, Antenna, we got Mike on the phone. Hello, Mike, are you there?
Hey, Ted, how you doing? Happy Field Day.
Well, happy Field Day to you, too. You are, what is it, N8XPQ, is that correct?
That is correct. In Holland, Michigan.
You're in the land of the tulips.
We are indeed. If you come here in May, we're in the land of the tulips, all right.
So tell me about your Field Day operation.
Well, we're set up at the Park Township Fairgrounds, the Ottawa County Fairgrounds, and we're operating 4 Alpha. The club call is Kilowatt 8 Delta Alpha Alpha KDAA, and we have kind of a neat setup up to this year. We have the Ottawa County Emergency Services trailer set up out there as well. We got that from Ottawa County Sheriff's Department, and that houses some of our stations in there, and that also houses part of our dispatch equipment. I also work for Ottawa County Dispatch. I'm a 911 dispatcher, so when we go out and set up an emergency situations, I'll go dispatch out of there as well. So we're kind of fortunate to get that trailer out there this year, and I get that set up. So we're having decent weather out here so far. We're expecting rain maybe later tonight, but so far it's in the mid-80s and bright and sunny skies. Go ahead.
You might want to tell folks where Holland is located for the people that don't know where Holland, Michigan is. If you were looking at Michigan as a mitten, where would we be pointing?
Well, Holland, Michigan, if you take Holland and you take Michigan, you divide it north and south, we're midpoint in the state. We're all the way on the far west side of the state. So we're at the field, they say, we're about 3/4 of a mile from the lakeshore.
Very, very good. Well, what frequencies or what bands are you operating on?
We are operating on 10 through 80 meters this year. And we decided to forego the VHF and UHF bands. In the years past, they just weren't very productive for us. And we're operating 4 Alpha. We just don't have enough operators this year to occupy the VHF and UHF bands. So we decided to stick with 10 through 80.
In your operation right now on HF, I guess I want to say, how many people are currently on the air right now?
Well, we at each operating site we have 4 stations set up. We'll have an operator and a logger at each site. So you have 8 people on the air at one time.
So tell me a little bit about your club. Tell me a little bit about the activities that you guys are engaged in throughout the year other than Field Day.
Well, we throughout the year we have a summer class and a winter class, a licensing class. We have those going on throughout the year as well as Morse code classes. So we're trying to keep the code alive. And we bring people all the way up from not knowing any code at all the way up through 20 words a minute, and we produce our own certificates through the club and awards through 5 words, 10, 15, and 20 words a minute. So we try to keep interesting the general public around the area and getting them into the hobby.
I'm just curious, do you guys do anything during the Tulip Festival? Because I know that's a big deal. The Tulip Festival in Holland, Michigan is pretty well near world famous.
It is. It's a huge festival. It lasts for 2 weeks long. There's 3 main parades throughout that festival, and we do take care of all the communications for all 3 of those parades. And we pull in people from quite a few surrounding clubs to take care of those communications. Generally, we're looking for about 40 to 50 people to take care of those parades on each day.
How many active members are in the group, and how many people, like, say, wind up at coming to the club meetings?
At the club meetings, we usually have between 30 and 40 members at the club meetings. We also recently, within the past, I would think it's about 4 years, we're able to take ownership. We actually leased for $1 a year a house that we call home now. We have our own clubhouse and which has our meeting rooms and it's a regular house. We have a club station there and everything else. We were meeting at one of the local hospitals in a meeting room there, and we now are fortunate enough to have the city of Holland actually give us for $1 a year a house that we can occupy, and we have our club station set up there and our meetings and everything else. So we're quite fortunate for that as well.
Okay, your club call sign again. I've got I know that it ends in DAA, but what's the prefix?
It's Kilowatt 8 Delta Alpha Alpha, K-8-D-A-A.
Okay, I was thinking that's what it was, but it went by pretty fast, and I didn't write it down. K-8-D-A-A, and you're in Holland, Michigan, participating
in Holland, Michigan, yep. And the clubhouse, we actually named it after one of our dear friends that passed this past year. It's Ken Groom. We call it the Ken Groom Technical and Training Center, and his call was ZR5 Alpha Alpha Deltas. And he was from South Africa. He moved here, about 8 years ago, and he recently passed this past year. But in his memory, we named the clubhouse after him.
All righty, sir. Well, we've got you down, and hopefully, you don't know. You guys may be the winner of the Trans World.
I appreciate your time, Ted. You do a great job on the show, and I listen to your show every week, so... Keep up the good work. We really appreciate the work you do.
Well, I really appreciate you calling in, and good luck to you guys on field day, and hope you... I know what I was going to ask you. During your activities now, and I forgot to ask it, how do you... Are you interfacing the public at all? Do you have people coming by to see your operation? I mean, is there some way you can get them into where you're at?
Well, I tell you, we do, Ted. As you come into the fairgrounds, you have to go down a main road, and they have this... There's monstrous dog park, so there's people in and out of there with taking their dogs to this dog park all day long, and you pass past the brand-new skate park, so you have mom and dads taking their kids to break their arms on the skateboard park and everything else, so they have to pass right past us, and we have our big Ottawa County trailer sitting out there, which attracts a bunch of attention, so we're really trying to get some new people into the hobby as well.
Oh, there you go. Well, I thank you much for calling. Thank you for listening, and good luck on winning that antenna. I'm hoping that somebody really that needs a good antenna system that's active in field day is going to wind up winning this thing. And thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Ted. Have a great field day.
And you do the same. Well, here we are. It's field day 2009, and we're broadcasting on a number of frequencies. You can go to tedrandall.com if you're listening right now and you're thinking, boy, I don't know, if wherever you're at the signal is not great, you may do better on another frequency. And I believe right now we are on 15.4, I believe we're on 15.420 and also on 93.30. But you can find all that out by checking it out on the website tedrandall.com. Also, there's a live stream up there, and we'll be right back right after this. Week after week, you hear us talk about Trans World antennas, and you hear us talk about the TW2010, the 4040, the Backpacker, and all these different antennas. Of course, the TW2010 Adventurer came first. Folks were amazed at its performance. Then they introduced the Backpacker, and now the 4040. Go to EHAM and read the reviews on the TW2010. Just go to EHAM and read those reviews. Now, you can do that by going to transworldantennas.com. Just go to transworldantennas.com. Transworld Antennas, one word. Go to transworldantennas.com. There's a link on that page that'll take you right straight to the EHAM reviews, or you can just go to EHAM yourself. And if you're a ham, you know how to get to EHAM on the internet. Just Google it. You'll get there. And read the reviews. See what other amateur radio operators are saying about this antenna. Thank you. All right. Field Day 2009 with us on the telephone. I've got Tim. Hello there.
Hi.
Week after week.
Whoops. Hang on just a second.
The computer had gone crazy. Go ahead, Tim. Where are you calling in from?
Hi, this is Tim, KG6ASY. Tim in Washoe Valley, Nevada. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Now, where in the world is Washoe Valley, Nevada?
Oh, we're about 11 miles south of Reno and 11 miles north of Carson City.
Okay. I guess Reno is the town you can go and change your name and stuff if you want to, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the biggest little city in the world, they say.
Well, tell us about your setup and about your organization there.
I'm running a TS 2000 with a Palstar antenna tuner, and I'm using the Cobra Senior antenna. And we're just working out of the house today, but we found you guys on the internet, and we're interested, and dropped you a line.
Well, very, very good. Yeah, you ought to try tuning us in. I think on 9330 does real well into Nevada.
I will have to check that out. Right now I'm at work, though, and I'm using a Yaesu FT897, and I'm tuning up the razor wire with the LTG antenna tuner on the side of the radio. The razor wire that's at the top of the fence, and I've worked several stations here on field day.
Now, are you doing this as a club, or you're just an individual?
I'm just an individual station.
Okay, well, very good. Well, you know, that's always cool on field day to have people on the air that, you know, if you can't make it, you're not part of a group or organization, to get on and operate field day. I mean, I think that's
I will definitely be making a trip probably tomorrow morning up to the SNARS. They do theirs up at the NOAA weather station up in Reno, so I'll probably go up there for breakfast.
Well, very, very good. Well, what about your area? Now, are you a part of a club in your town or in your city at all?
Yes, SNARS, Sierra Nevada Amateur Radio Association.
Okay, well, tell me a little bit about that group.
They're a pretty good group. There's also the wide area data group, and they got a couple repeaters, and we get together every field day. A lot of great guys, a lot of good Elmers.
Do they have a whole lot of activities throughout the year? I mean, different things.
Oh yeah, every Tuesday morning every Monday morning at the Denny's they have a breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So once a week we all get together and have breakfast.
Well, do you participate in emergency communications and things like ARES?
Not since I moved to Nevada. Before, when I lived in Sonoma, California, that's where I got my call. I belong to ACS, which is Auxiliary Communication Services, which is a state run type deal that gets us amateurs involved.
Very good. Now, your call sign is KG6, is it?
Yep.
Is it ASY or ASU?
ASY.
ASY, that's what I thought. Well, let me make sure, because sometimes when people are writing things down, you go to read it, it's not very clear. Let me ask you this. What frequencies are you operating today? Where are you hanging out at?
Mostly the razor wire. Funny. The razor wire is about 200 and something feet long. So it works pretty well on 160, 80, and 40. I can tune them all up, but I didn't bring the analyzer with me, so I don't know where it's most resonant at. But mostly the lower area, 20 through 160.
Well, very good. So now, I'm not familiar with your area, but are you in a desert area? Or are you in a?
I can look across the valley and see the Sierra Nevadas. Where it's beautiful pinyon pine trees and sequoias, and then I can look across the other way, and it's sagebrush, jackrabbits, and rattlesnakes.
Oh, very good. Do they have, like, open season on the rattlesnakes? I mean, you were...
Yes, and the coyotes.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wasn't saying you go, honey. Well, listen, I appreciate you calling in, and it's good hearing from you. And once again, you'll have to try... You have to try tuning it in this afternoon sometime. The two frequencies, though, it's just hard to say what'll come in out there. I think 9330 will do better.
Definitely check it out.
I was in Nevada. I was able to pick up 9330 on a little tiny handheld Grundig, and it was it came in like a truckload of bricks. It was very surprising. So, well, thank you for calling. You have a good field day, and appreciate you listening.
You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Field Day 2009, that's where we're at. We got folks calling in from all different kinds of locations. We got clubs, I am sure, that are very anxious to want to win this TW 2010L Backpacker. And
Ted, I went back.
Whoops, let me turn. I had you turned down here.
Well, that's all right. I went back to check on our guys. They're running 3 Delta, and they're up over 500 contacts already today. Of course, they're running really fast and turning them over quickly. And they've got chicken, grilled bratwurst, grilled hamburgers. I've never seen so much food back there. And it's all sitting, and everybody's radioing. Now, I just don't understand with all that food there why they continue to radio at the pace they're doing and not eating. But I think they're eating in shifts or something. But, boy, they are having the time of their lives back there. And I think Megan maybe has got them motivated to turn those contacts over. But
she's back there hammering right now.
Well, Dave said she's back there hammering right now, so I'm telling you, Ted, it's field day at Trans World. I think you maybe have somebody calling you there.
I was trying to get a hand signal here from Matt. Are we okay? We have is it George?
This is George, W0WEV, Whiskey Zero, Whiskey Echo Bravo with the W6PW, the San Francisco Amateur Radio Club here in San Francisco. We're sitting up here, set our field day site here inside the Presidio. I'm on the phone on the radio show, sorry.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is on the phone and he is on a radio show here. That's why.
Well, I got somebody in the background asking me why I'm waving my hands, asking everyone to be quiet.
Well, no, let him make noise.
We're 4 Alpha SF here, the Whiskey 6 Papa Whiskey, the San Francisco Amateur Radio Club here in San Francisco in the Presidio. We're running on our generator. We're running a 4 Alpha Sierra Foxtrot.
Well, tell me a little bit. Tell me a little bit about what band you're on and how many people you got participating there.
Well, we've got about 20 people here right now. We're covering everything from 10 to 80 just about. We're having a little bit of a generator problem on one of the radios. But we're running an ICOM 756 Pro 2 here. And we also have a PS430 running. We have an old ICOM IC750, which is a Japanese radio for your listeners, not intended for the U.S. bands, but it is working great. And then we also are running a Kenwood TS850, and we've had a few modern rigs like the IC7000 out here. We currently have about 5 dipole antennas in the air and 1 minor vertical using for 15 meters at the moment. We have both voice and CW stations operating, and people are piling in here like they're going out of style.
Well, are you're in a public location there?
Yes, we are. And we do have a GOTA station. We're looking for somebody to come up and operate the GOTA station. And we are in a public area. We're outside the Rob Hill Campgrounds inside of the Presidio inside of San Francisco, California, right by the Golden Gate Bridge. And the temperature is about 75 degrees with sunshine, and it's getting warmer as we speak.
Well, now let me ask you a question. Are any of these folks that are visiting your site, do any of them have flowers in their hair?
Flowers? Did I copy you correctly, Clark?
You copied me correctly.
George.
No, but we've had people bring their dogs in and their kids, and a few of the harmonics are running around here right now trying to figure out what to do with the adults talking radio and stuff like that.
But, well, see, I'm just showing my age because of the song. Are you going to San Francisco?
Okay, yeah, the song. Well, hey, you know, let me put our club president on and allow him to say a few words to your audience out there and talk about the radio club.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, one of the site coordinators here, so let me give you President Dowler, KM6DA, that's Kilo Mike 6 Delta America. This is Tony.
Hi, this is Tony, KM6DA.
And how are you doing, sir?
Well, we're doing great out here. We had a marvelous day out here at the Presidio Rob Hill. We've got a few birds flying around here. We've got some antennas up. It's a gorgeous day for amateur radio.
Well, tell me a little bit about your club. What do you folks, tell me about your activities. I know you're obviously big on field day, but tell me about how...
Yeah, right, actually, field day is a very small cut of the pie with San Francisco Amateur Radio Club. We're one of the oldest amateur radio clubs on the West Coast. Established in 1916. We do a lot of public service events like the San Francisco Marathon, the MS Walk, and so forth. And we're getting involved this year with a special event station commemorating the 20th anniversary of the Loma Prieta earthquake, which will be on the air October the 17th for 24 hours, and we'll be broadcasting down from the Marina Green, which is adjacent to one of the worst damaged areas during the 89 quake. We're extremely involved in a lot of public service, and I don't know much more I can offer you here, but we're a very involved organization. We'd like to get out there and get the word out about amateur radio and help people.
Well, how many members are in your group altogether, you think?
Right now, our roster sits at about 94.
That is a good-sized amateur club.
Well, we're also getting a lot of new members. A lot of new licensed hams are applying. A little bit of the youth movement, as it were. And it's really looking good for the San Francisco Amateur Radio Club. We're starting to see a resurgence in the hobby, and it's always very encouraging.
Let me say this. I mean, I'll ask this question. In order to you have a club of about 90 people, and boy, it's funny. I can hear in the background. It sounds like you guys are really having a good time there. How about the things like classes and bringing new hams in? How do you work that, or do you participate in any of that kind of stuff?
Well, of course we approach the VEs for referrals in the local area. We have our newsletter, we have our website. We're constantly having information available for any public event that we do, complete with ARRL information as well as the club information. Anywhere and everywhere that we can get the word out, that's how we start drawing in. We've been trying to visit some of the local high schools to encourage younger students to get involved in amateur radio. Another thing that we're another thing that the radio club is doing is getting re-involved with our Fort Miley Veterans Hospital station, to which we're going to be helping them with their emergency preparedness and having a permanent station up there, which will be shared by the VA and the San Francisco Amateur Radio Club.
Oh, very, very good. That's excellent. I'm wondering that in all the activities and what you do, do you find that? How do you do your meetings? Let me ask you this question. You got 100 people. You know, it's hard to hang on to a group of people like that and get them to continue to be, you know, members and to continue paying dues and come to meetings and all that kind of stuff. So you must have something that attracts these folks in from month to month. And what are those kinds of activities that you're doing?
Well, that's an excellent question, actually. And, you know, in the past that we've experimented with types of programs that we present. But we found by and large that you really stop and take a look at why does somebody come to a meeting. Well, they want to make friends. They want to enhance a hobby. They want to learn something. So we found that at least this year, technically based programs, something that involves them with a hands-on type of activity, has been the biggest draw. Like, for example, this last meeting was strictly a field day preparedness meeting where we had a gentleman come in, Dean Straw, N6BV, gave us a tutorial on contesting. Now, he's a representative of the Northern California Contest Club, gave an excellent talk on that, and we followed that up with a basic tutorial on rudimentary HF tuning, so that when you came to field day, you wouldn't be completely out in the woods, so to speak, as far as being acquainted with the rig. And then we also followed that up with another tutorial on the logging software that we're incorporating this year for the first time. So we've got a network of computers linking our logging so that we can take care of duplicates and so forth.
Well, that sounds really interesting, and it's always good to hear a good, active club, you know, a dynamic club, somebody that's really, you know, doing something. Dr. Michael Barrett is here. He's a fellow that is the proprietor of Trans World Antennas, and he's looking into the microphone. I think he wants to say something to you.
I was out there not long ago, and it was at the Presidio there at the bridge, but there's another famous landmark out there not too far from you guys that and you may have done it in the past. I didn't get a shot at it if you did, but Alcatraz Island is out there, and I'm wondering if you guys have ever activated that island or ever done a special event from Alcatraz, or is it even available to go to anymore?
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, the San Francisco Amateur Radio Club did operate 1 year from Alcatraz. The big detractor on that area, I mean, it's a very attractive site for field day, but we have to worry about getting our operators back and forth to the island, which is quite limited. So that's the only thing that keeps us from going back there.
Well, maybe we can talk into sometime when you guys are need an operating activity. We, the folks in the South, chase a lot of paper, do a lot of special event work, either putting on events or working events. And I know, as a person like that, I would really like to get a certificate that said I worked Alcatraz Island. So if you guys ever do anything like that, we'd love to we'll support you. I mean, we'll print the certificates and we'll pay the postage if the San Francisco Club will do it.
We're very open to any and all ideas. This is what we do, is we experiment, don't we? We go out and try different things, and certainly Alcatraz is a very attractive proposition, and especially for special events, I would certainly enjoy doing something like that myself. Now, if anybody has any information or would like to find out about the club or insert some ideas, of course, we're always available at www.sfarc.org. And if you need to email one of the officers or board members, our email links are available on that website. So, bring on the ideas. We're all for it. We'd love to promote amateur radio.
Now, Ted never asks the important questions. He always asks the amateur radio questions and the technical stuff. But what the listeners really want to know is what kind of cuisine is being served out there at your field day event. I know it's got to be something exotic.
Well, now we have, for lunch, we made a very basic assortment of hot dogs, kielbasas, and Polish sausage, along with some baked beans, of course, with some chips, a little bit of, actually, we have some specialty sandwiches also available. This evening, I can't wait for this evening because we're having some homemade stew, both the vegetarian type and the meat lovers type. So we've got quite a plate available for our evening wares. And, of course, assorted drinks, soft drinks, water, and some awfully good coffee.
But no barbecue.
This is done on a barbecue.
Oh, well, when I say barbecue, see, everybody, for some reason, at field day, everybody is into, barbecued pork. They've got that kind of barbecue going. So we decided.
We're not every day amateur radio club, are we?
There you go. I was going to say, because we decided that the pig was the endangered species on field day.
I would incline to agree. But, yeah, we're going to shake it up. I think probably next year I'm going to reintroduce my wife's Korean short ribs. That'll bring a lot of people out here. It always does at our annual camp out. But certainly there's a lot of wonderful food that's available. But we don't want to get too far away from the actual reason why we're out here, and that's operating field day.
Well,
we do want to make it a pleasant stay while you're here. But we even have our own little, what I call our Hotel New Hampshire. And that's just basically a sleep tent for those folks who want to stay overnight and catch a nap in between contacts.
Well, there you go. But no pigs for barbecue today at your location.
Just the sausages.
The sausages.
Okay. Yes, we have the kielbasa, the Polish, and the hot dog for lunch.
I can hear the pig right now. Can you hear that guy? Oh, me. Well, listen, thank you so much. And, of course, we're going to put your club's name down, and you're qualified for this drawing coming up for the Trans World Antenna TW2010L Backpacker Antenna.
Ooh.
And that comes with the Quadra Stand and the carry bag.
That's great.
I was just telling Dr. Barrett earlier they're going to mess up field day, because if everybody starts using these things, they only require like about a 2-minute setup, you know, and
that's even better.
Yeah, and then you're in business, you know. So, well, thank you so much. Anything else that you'd like to add to this? You're welcome.
No, just if you got some interest in San Francisco Amateur Radio Club, again, www.sfarc.org. The plug is in, and that's about all I got for you.
All righty. Well, I thank you so very much for calling in. You have a good one,
sir. All right,
sir.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to a special QSO broadcast of Field Day 2009, brought to you by Trans World Antennas. The number to call in from your field day location is 615-469-0702. And when you call, your group is qualified for the drawing for the Transworld TW2010 Backpacker Antenna Package, complete with quadruped and carry bag. Once again, that number is 615-469-0702. And now back to your host, Ted Randall.
And we want to let you know you can go up to, what is it now? You want me to talk about the website? Is it? Go ahead.
Well, you got to turn my mic up before I can actually talk.
You know, I got to keep these mics down because everybody.
We were over here making pig noises earlier.
Yeah, they're giggling and laughing and carrying on. And somebody over here a little while ago on one of these microphones was snorting. I don't know who that was, but it may have been the pig.
It's when you put a ham in the sun too long.
You put a ham in the sun too long, huh? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Well, if you're out there and you want to flip on the radio show online, you can go to qsoradioshow.com or tedrandall.com, either one, and you can jump up there. We've got quite a few people taking advantage of that right now, and I'm sitting here thinking, man, that's quite a few people. But go up there, and what's our call-in number here once again?
The call-in number is area code 615. And the telephone number is 469-0702. That's 469-0702. And give us a call. And we also want all these clubs, if you're at a field day location and you call in, your club is qualified for the drawing for the TW2010L Backpacker with a quadra stand and carry bag.
And just to make note, if you've already called in and we haven't got back to you yet, because if you call in, we take your name and number down and make sure you're a ham. No, I'm joking. We will be calling you back. We've got a couple in the queue right now. We've had a couple continue to call saying, hey, what are you going to get assigned? We're working you in. We got 11 hours here, so we're having a lot of fun here. So.
And is there something you wanted to add?
Well, what most people don't understand, Ted, is the show, the QSO show, is hosted by Ted Randall, and all we do is sponsor it. So we have to negotiate from time to time. And you promised me, if I'd sit here and act right for about 3 hours, that you'd play Surfing Bird for me. So sometime in the future, and I know we don't play a lot of music on the Field Day show, but You played Angel Eyes song, so you need to live up to your commitment and play Surfing Bird at some point.
I have to play Surfing Bird.
Okay. You have to.
All right. Well, let me try to get this over with as soon as possible, okay?
It works for me.
Okay, folks, I'll just say cover your ears, you know. Just cover the, put your hands over your ears. Or, unless you're crazy like we are, grab the knob and turn the radio up, okay?
Well, everybody's heard about the bird. Bird, bird, bird. Bird's a winner. Ma, 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 ma
We are live from Field Day 2009 from, what's this location? What are we calling this?
This is the TETA, Trans World Antennas World Headquarters.
We'll be right back just in a few moments. Salt and John.
Deep from the hills of Tennessee, where the generators today are powered by the fuel of sour mash still. Get that cigar away from Ted, please. Sour mash still, the fuel of the 2009 Field Day QSO broadcast. And now, here is your host, Ted Randall.
Yeah, welcome on in once again, 2009 Field Day. We are live just outside of Cookeville, Tennessee, at the home of Trans World Antennas. And we appreciate you listening. Once again, our phone number here, 615-469-0702. That's 615-469-0702. Go to the website, tedrandall.com, or I'm giving your website. Dr. Barrett, they won't find the broadcast there. They'll find the antenna there, though, that's for sure. Website is QSOradioshow.com. Go to QSOradioshow.com, and you can find out all the pertinent information, including the operating frequencies, what we'll be on, because we'll be on 5110 later in the evening. And, of course, now we're on 9330 and 15420. So, and we have Eric on the phone. Hello there.
Well, actually, this is Greg. Eric is standing next to me.
He's standing next to you. Now, are you?
Yeah, he handed me the phone. How do you like that?
Okay. Well, this is your field A, and where are you folks located at?
Yeah, very good. Well, we're just north of Aurora, Illinois. We're in Kane County, and we're at a forest preserve here that we drew our 1,000-foot circle for field day activities at today. My name is Greg at Golf Romeo Echo Golf, and my call sign is N9CHA.
N9CHA. And tell me a little bit about your group, sir.
Absolutely. We happen to be a general interest ham radio club that has about 200 members to it right now. And here today at field day, we have about 50 of them out. Our dinner bell is going to ring at 6 o'clock local time, and I can imagine we're probably going to push another 50 or 60 members out here because that happens to be our unofficial picnic as well during the field day activity.
All right. Now, before we get into anything else, what's on the agenda for the picnic? What have the chefs got going?
Hey, how would you like some turkey? We've got bratwurst, we've got wieners, we've got hamburgers, we've got potato salad, and all the fixings. So it's a pretty big deal. We've got three or four gals in the club who also have their call signs, and they're in charge of our cooking. And then some of us guys get in there later and help her clean up.
No barbecue this year?
Well, you want to call it barbecue? Yeah, we've got two gas grills going, and the turkeys are done with the hot oil.
Well, see, now, you know, there's the distinction between the North and the South. When you say barbecue and you're north of the Mason-Dixon line, people think of a barbecue grill, okay? When you're south of the Mason-Dixon line, they understand that to be a pork shoulder or something like that that's been cooked. In other words, it's some poor pig has given its life for barbecue in this part of the country.
And many of us up here love that. So we just going to say we're going to grill out here today. No barbecue today.
Grilling out. There you go. That's a different. The pig's losing out this year. We are not finding the barbecues we found last year. Well, tell me about your operation there. How are you set up? How many stations and what frequencies are you on and all that sort of thing?
Absolutely. We have 8 simultaneous stations this year. We're called 8 Alpha. We have emergency generator power. We have a GOTA station, a get-on-the-air station, that's running on several different bands throughout the day. They hunt and pounce at times. We also have a very elaborate VHF station this year running 6 meters, 2 meters, and UHF up on 440. We're fitting nicely into a 1,000-foot circle. Up here in northern Illinois, we're on the big prairie, you know, so if you stand on a sheet of paper, you can see to Iowa from here. But there is a bit of a mound. We're probably about 100 or 150 feet above the average terrain, and we're lucky enough to get this particular location this year for our UHF-VHF station. So we are separated as best we can to eliminate RFI from station to station, but we are 80 through VHF this year. Like I said, we have 8 stations on the air, and currently I think we're running 15 phone and CW. We have 20 CW, PSK, and phone running right now, as well as 40 PSK, CW, and phone.
That's incredible. Now, 200 members, that's a good-size amateur radio club.
It is. It's a wonderful club. We have people that, of course, up here in northern Illinois, we're lucky to have places like Fermilab and Motorola and other very high-tech facilities, and so some of those folks are members of our club, and so we get some high-end engineering from those guys. And we have members all the way down to some of the very young people. We are very lucky to have some people just in the middle grades, like 7th, 8th, and 9th grade right now. So it's a very wide-ranging club. We're very general interest. We enjoy fox hunting in the off-seasons. We have picnics. We operate special events. And we also try to provide emergency communications to our local towns and communities.
When you all do your fox hunts, how many folks show up for the fox hunt?
We've had as many as a dozen people show up for a fox hunt. But tell you what really brings them in is as long as you have it scheduled where we're having ice cream social afterwards, we can draw a lot of people in.
Oh, very, very good. Well, I was gonna ask you the same question I just asked another gentleman. They had a club of about 100. And that is, what is it that keeps the people paying the dues, coming to the meetings, and returning? What do you do at your club meetings? You have to have some sort of an activity compelling enough to keep these folks coming back?
We surely do. We have an activity chairman who is very active in the hobby. His name is Dick. Call sign is AH6EZ. He's been our chairperson of our presentation for quite some time. And Dick puts on a wonderful presentation every month. And it might be aspects of ham radio that maybe none of us might actually participate in, but certainly we're very interested in it. He'll give his perspective, and he opens up for discussion. And it really is very lively. People who attend our meetings oftentimes go back to their own club meetings and say, hey, here's what the FRRL is doing. Maybe there's something we can learn from them to retain our members and to even build our club. And that's all due to a lot of participation, people volunteering, a very good core of people up here that really enjoy getting involved with the hobby and donating their time. And we're very fortunate for that.
What about the young people? How many young folks do you have as part of the club, and what do you do to attract them in?
We've actually done several things. It's a good question. We started a group here some years ago called the Next Gen Hams, and we would allow them to work on the ARRL events when they allow young people to get on the air a little bit and talk to each other. But aside from that, our club is also very involved with the ARIS program. Myself and another gentleman are ARIS mentors, and we've been able to schedule a couple of groups in our area to have young people talk to the International Space Station and have the opportunity to talk with astronauts in space. And that really does bring in a lot of kids, especially those who are interested in technology.
Have you all done anything? Have you tried working the space station today at all? I understand they've made some contacts.
That's a possibility. We do have a handheld aero antenna out here. We may try it a little bit later. I think from looking at their site, they might be in the sleep mode past 4 o'clock here this afternoon, but we certainly are going to at least point our antenna up there tomorrow during one of their passes.
Well, do you know who's up there this time around? I mean, we all know who Richard Garriott was and his mission and all the contacts he made over ham radio. Who is up there right now, or do you know? And that's something I don't know.
I wish I did offhand. I apologize for not being able to tell you the crew compliment right now.
Well, somebody knows who the Hammonds...
Absolutely, somebody. Well, no. You know, if I was at home in my home shack, I'd be popping this up on my web browser real quick, and I would go off to the NASA site and tell you all the crew members that are up there. Right
No. What I was going to say is if someone is listening right now and you know the Hammond space right now or who it is that's up there with the ham radio... gear or capability.
Well, as long as we call NA1SS, we're fine, right? So that's the call station of the International Space Station, and that's who you call.
I understand it, but I'd still like to know who. I was going to say, if anyone knows, call us at 615-469-0702. At 615-469-0702, because I'd like to know. And, well, now, in your group, of course, you're a large group, and I guess I want to say is, yeah, of the 200 members, percentage-wise, what is the normal meeting attendance? How many folks usually show up?
We typically have a meeting size in the summer months of about 50 people, and then by the time fall and winter come around, we'll probably add another 20 to that, so we'll have about 70 members on a regular basis in the winter months. In the summer times, families are busy, as you can understand, and so we don't draw as many as we do, of course, during the school year.
Well, you're lucky because you're around... a number of high-tech industries there, which makes for a good pool for...
That's exactly right. We do have a number of high-tech industries here. We have some really large communities. We're west of Chicago, approximately 45 miles. Most of the cities that we draw our hams from are up and down the Fox River Valley, communities such as St. Charles and Batavia and Geneva, and also Aurora and Elgin. Naperville is also a big area, Oswego and Montgomery. These are all communities that are somewhat... fed into the Chicagoland market. We're considered a far western suburban area for Chicago.
Well, very, very good. Well, listen, I really appreciate you calling in and talking to us. I hope you have a very, very good and successful field day. And I hope you're able to interface with the public and get a chance to show the hobby off there. And,
thank you very much. Yes, we have a very nice demonstration table set up for those who have come in. I have seen a few people come in. We've got some nice signs along the road next to the Forest Preserve here, and we've had a few curious people that are onlooking, and we've been walking them around our site. So
But I want to say thank you to you, too. This is a wonderful service you're providing for the amateur community. I certainly appreciate you providing this interview opportunity for us today.
Well, very, very good. And once again, the name of your group again is?
It's the Fox River Radio League.
Fox River Radio League. I want to make sure I've got this written down. And the reason why is the where I'm writing it down, that all goes in the hat for the drawing. And you folks may wind up winning that Trans World Antennas TW2010L Backpacker. You might get that.
We would absolutely put it to use, no doubt about it. If people do want to find out more information about our club, though, it's simple, www.frrl.org. And we'll have some pictures about our field day site on there posted probably in the next few days.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it, sir.
Very good. Thanks for the opportunity.
Okay, thank you. Looks like you're Dr. Barrett. Looks like you're getting maybe a little bit sleepy over there.
Well, I had a little of the bird, both the grilled chicken and the serving bird, and I'm content. And I'm actually just listening to the show. I'm enjoying the broadcast. Uh-oh, we're at red alert now.
Now, the next time he starts, looks like he's got that dozing off in his eyes there. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have the red alert come in, and I don't know. Did Dave ever get his antenna up out there? Oh, man, I'll tell you what. I was watching him work on that. I don't understand that a bit because we've got, like, how many 2010s out there, Dr. Barrett? I mean, we got...
Oh, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 2010s and a 2020 and 8080s and 4040s, but we've got to have something to reference them against. So Dave, you know, he likes to see how they work against each other.
Yes,
so
how many hours it takes to put them up.
There we go. He spent You spent the first 3 hours of field day putting up a flat top there.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Okay, we have a caller. Let's get to talking to this fella here. Is this Bruce?
Yes, it is.
And how are you today, sir?
We're doing just fine. Running field day up in Michigan, outside of Detroit, in a place called West Bloomfield.
All right.
At the home QTH, running one echo under emergency power.
And speaking of echo, I can hear an echo on you. What? Maybe cell phone anomalies we're hearing here. Do I sound...
Probably the cell phone we're talking on, perhaps.
All right. I was going to say, I may have an anomaly coming your way, too. You may be hearing something strange on me. I don't know. Well, anyways, what's the name of your club, sir?
Well, we're not a club. We're a home station.
Oh, okay.
But we're running... the call is WZ2Z, Whiskey Zulu 2 Zulu. And right now we have two operators, which more are going to show up. I have a friend of mine from Vermont that is supposed to show up this evening.
I don't know if you were listening earlier, but we had an interview, an in-depth interview with Jim Davis, and I don't know if you're a big Detroit radio fan, but he is the former Big Jim Edwards from CKLW from years ago.
Yes.
And he's all
call. Excellent.
And he's also his call sign is Whiskey 2 JKD, which is his initials. And he was on. He's general manager of a group of stations down in Florida, and a pilot and a ham. And he has a lot of fond memories of the Motor City. So.
Oh, well, very good. And it's still the Motor City.
Well, you know, I was going to say, and I told the story then, and I won't go over it again to the point where it makes everybody ill. But I my first field I ever saw was the Motor City Radio Club operating out of Ford Field. This was years ago, back when.
Oh my goodness! Very good.
Motor City Radio Club had their meetings in the Henry Ford Museum. I don't know if you were around at that point.
In Dearborn.
Yes.
I used to work for Ford for a while. I spent some time working at Ford.
And What area?
I'm familiar with the museum.
What area did you work in over there?
CAM engineering, computer aided design.
I see. I was curious. What part of did you work at the big blue Ford building that's off by the Southfield Freeway, or were you tucked away in a in an office in some other some other location.
You know, actually, I worked off of Outer Drive, where the Ford main plants 1 through 7 are.
Okay.
Primarily in Building 2.
And I'm not familiar with that, but I know where that's at. So, well, tell me now, are you a member of a local radio club or group in the Detroit area or in the Mid Michigan area there at all?
Actually, not in Michigan. I believe it or not, I'm a member of a club up in Vermont.
Really?
St. Albans Stark, the Stark Club.
And
I usually do field day up there, but unfortunately, because of scheduling, my son has a graduation coming up from the Marine Corps on Monday, so I need to fly down to Virginia, down to Quantico. And I couldn't see being able to do a field day up in Vermont and then logistically making it down to Virginia. So I decided to run here, and anyone from Vermont that wants to come down here is more than welcome. And as I said earlier, my friend Bob, K2KI, is probably in the driving mode right now to get here.
Okay, now you're located in what part of the Detroit area?
We're in West Bloomfield.
Okay.
West Bloomfield, Michigan. It's actually closer to Pontiac.
All right.
I'm about 5 to 6 miles away from the old Silver Dome.
I see. I remember that place very well. Are you now? Have you been in the Detroit area for a long time, or have you just recently moved there?
I'm not from here. I moved here from New Jersey back in 1997. Well, so I'm a transplant.
You're a transplant. Okay.
Yes, I am.
Well, and sir,
very happy with the Detroit area. I enjoy the city.
I really I want to thank you for calling in. I didn't know if you want to tell us a little bit more about what you're doing as far as Field Day is concerned. I'd ask you what you're having, what your cuisine is for Field Day, but if you're at home, I can imagine you have you're probably it's going to be a little different than it is out in the field where you have all these people bringing covered dishes and stuff. But maybe give me a rundown on.
Usually, in previous Field Days, it's been hot dogs on the grill and a pot of chili, and certainly coffee going for the 24 hours. But being here at home, we're still planning to do the grilling outside, and everything that we're running in the shack here is driven off the generator, including the air conditioner, because it's 87 degrees out at the moment. But everything at this particular site is run off a generator.
Well, very, very good. I thank you for calling in. As I said, very, very good. I thank you for calling in, and it's cool that I really like to encourage folks, individuals, to operate Field Day, because if you can't be part of a group, if you're away from home, or regardless of what's going on, if you have the opportunity to operate at home or as a single operator, by all means.
Well, I certainly agree. One of the intents of Field Day is for emergency preparedness. Is pretty much originally how it started with that concept. And at a moment's notice, you must be able to set up either at home or somewhere in the field to provide communications. And although Field Day is a fun contest to run for everyone, it's also the ability to go out and set up in an emergency situation, learn how to do that, and operate the equipment under, in some cases, adverse conditions. Although the home here isn't as bad as it could be, but I've been in intense and mosquito-infested swamp areas doing Field Day I've been a ham for the past 38 years.
Well, sir,
I have many Field Days under my belt.
I thank you much for calling, and pass word along that we're on the air. Tell all your friends that are working Field Day that you are on the air. And we're
absolutely
on, and I look forward to talking to you or working you on the band sometime.
Well, excellent. Are you participating in Field Day this year?
Well,
I'm running a program about Field Day.
Well, no, actually, we are at the headquarters for Trans World Antennas, and they are running Field Day as I speak. We are on the air right now, and how many stations are set up here?
3 Delta.
Michael Barrett. Dr. Michael Barrett is the proprietor of Trans World Antennas, and you can go ahead and explain to them what all we got set up, what all we got going here.
Well, we've got every band covered from 70 centimeter up to 160 meters. We're not running them all at one time. We're running three stations at any given time, so we're running three Delta. I don't know how well they're doing on VHF and UHF, but I went and checked my numbers. I haven't got Dave's number on his super antenna that he just set up. But they were
70 centimeters also.
Yeah, we're running 70 all the way, 222, 2 meter, 6 meter, all the way up to 160. But we were running a 40 meter, 20 meter, and 15 meter was what we were really working on. 10 is not being worked right now. And then as the night wears on, we'll move our operators over. We've got some... We got some folks around here that think 2 hours is a long time to be on the radio, so we have to shift them in and out. But now that, Ted, that does not include what Dave has done, because he has come up with a special stealth super antenna, and I saw him working, and he had several pages filled in a logbook. So you'll just have to see if you can pry the information out of him.
Well, that's excellent.
You know, there's
we're planning on running from 80 to 10. Right now we're on 20 doing PSK 31, and I'm probably going to drop over to CW shortly here.
What are y'all? Are y'all like two alpha, or how many are you declaring in the thing?
We're a one echo station.
One echo,
and we have two operators, and possibly a third from Vermont might be showing up later on this evening.
Do you know about how many contacts you've made so far? Just a rough idea, is a couple of hundred?
About 250.
Very good. Excellent.
So we're moving along, and I'm still waiting for 20 meters to go a little bit further west out to California for me, because I want to clear off the six area first. And then concentrate on some other ones that are a little bit harder to get this evening. I do plan to shift over to 40 meters probably in another couple hours.
Okay. Now, you guys you running 100 watts, or you running QRP? What are you running?
We're running 100 watts with using an ST2000.
Putting out a little power. You are the FT2000 at times. Are you putting out using amplifier at times?
No amplifier.
Okay.
Just barefoot on the rig, which is maximum on FT2000 is 100 watts.
Okay.
And right now on PSK, we're probably running 30 watts.
Okay.
We don't need to run that much power for PSK.
Are you finding a lot of folks on PSK, or what does it look like?
Actually, there seems to be quite a bit of activity, at least on the 20-meter band. I haven't looked on the other bands for PSK. Probably this evening we might do some 40-meter PSK.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking 15 or 20 meters that we're on now is probably the best. I'd like to take a look at the 15-meter activity, because that's one of my favorite bands, especially during the peak of the sunspot cycle, as you know.
Sure. Now, are you working? You working mostly?
As far as I can tell, it's not opened yet.
No, are you working mostly North American stations? I mean, have you got anything really long so far?
Not yet, just North America.
Okay.
In Canada, out to Texas, Florida, that area.
Very good. Well, Ted has dipped into the sour mash here. I'm gonna have to get him woke back up.
I hit this, we're deep in the Tennessee Hills, so the generators are all being powered by sour, the distillation of sour mash here. So.
Excellent.
And that also has.
My headquarters is in Tennessee. I work for Nissan.
Aha.
And we're out of Nashville.
Well, I understand there's a couple of really very well built stills that have been constructed from, prospective automobile parts in back of the Nissan plant. Is that true by any chance?
Well, I'm not allowed to disclose that information, but I would venture to say that because they're very good mechanical engineers down there, they probably have a very good distillation facility somewhere. I'm not allowed to disclose the location.
All righty. Yeah, well, I'm committing the cardinal sin. I got a text message, and I'm trying to return the text message, you know, and talk at the same time. Isn't that, that's terrible. I hate, you know, that's what happens when people drive. They get on their text messaging, and of course, then the end result is they're driving up trees and phone poles. Well, I thank you so much for calling us and participating in this conversation and this field day broadcast. And
what frequency are you broadcasting on for field day for this, so I can tune in?
Okay, now we're on a number.
I got a free call. No one gave me the frequency.
Okay, well, it's 9330 and 15420. 9330. All right, and then later tonight around 10 o'clock p.m., we will be dropping the 15420 frequency, and we'll be on 5110. And that will also be on 9330 through all of that. And, you know, I was recently up in the Detroit area, and once again, I tuned in 9330, and it was coming in like a ton of bricks. You know, it seems like that is the magic number for some reason. It does really well.
Oh, yes, it does. Well, very good. This has been very interesting and informative, and you can call back, later in the evening, see how we're doing at 2-3 o'clock in the morning, per se.
Okay.
We do plan operating the full 24 hours.
All right. Well, we'll be here until midnight Central Time.
Then they'll be around that
distance. Ah, okay.
So I will. We may call you back quite late tonight, and. After we have to inspect the generator fuel a number of times, we'll probably be in pretty good shape to have a conversation.
Well, I hope that I'm in the same shape, although my fuel isn't quite as refined, to say.
You need to
make runs out to the generator also.
You need
in the backyard at the moment, mostly to the chagrin of my neighbors, I'm sure.
Well, what you're going to have to do, though, is you have to send somebody out somewhere to get you a bag of pork barbecue sandwiches. That will complete field day.
Some good pulled pork sandwich on a field day. You couldn't be better. You know what? Maybe next year I'll come down to Foreland.
There you go. There you go.
How would that be? It sounds like that's a good place to operate.
All righty, sir. Well, have a good one. And you behave yourself today now.
We're certainly going to try or make a good college attempt at it.
All righty.
So thank you very much for the interview.
All righty. Well,
I enjoy it. And 73 to all and good field day.
73 to you, too. Well, I don't know. I think we're getting the word out about the pork barbecue and what you need to power these generators with. That's what...
I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to just let you... play that one on out.
All right, now we watched Dave over here. Dave was, what were you doing? I can just keep walking back and forth in this, you know, big long wire that you're carrying back and forth. Did you ever get this thing? Is it in the air somewhere?
It works. Yeah, it's working.
It's working. What is it?
3 hours later, you get a dipole up in the air, and you might be able to work a few people.
Well, what is it? I mean, tell me.
It's just a 40-meter dipole, but I was trying to use it up on 15. And the bands are not in too great a shape, so it's been a bit of a headache.
One of your problems may be that you're not working your microphone close enough.
It could
just
be.
Like get up a little closer to that mic. Okay. So this was a 40 meter dipole.
That's all it was.
It looked like a real complicated process from when I was looking out the window. I mean, I don't know. Like I was watching you and David go back and forth, and then when you came back in. You looked extremely tired. You looked like you'd been through a Jack LaLanne physical fitness course of some sort.
It's something like that, yes. It takes a lot more work than a TW 2010.
But anyway, so you weren't making any odd noises, though, I think. All right. You were pointing at me for some reason. No, you weren't pointing at me for some reason.
That wasn't a pointing finger.
Oh, it was something else, huh? Okay. The next time he does that, you know.
I understand.
I'll tell you something. Sometimes that's one thing that people have to be kind of careful of, especially this time of year, during amateur radio field day, especially if it's really hot outside.
I didn't want to tell him, but that hillside he was working on in that forest is known for copperhead snakes. In fact, the boys killed about a 4.5-foot copperhead out here in the driveway the other day, and I didn't want to get Dave too excited, but he was up, he was up in some good copperhead territory stringing that dipole.
Sure. That won't be anything new.
Well, Dave works in the radio business and takes care of radio stations, and there's many, many times you go out to a radio station and open up the door to the transmitter building, and
there's a copperhead central up here.
A couple eyes staring back at you, yes. Letting you know that you've just interrupted their peaceful, serene abode. And you've had that happen a few times.
Yes, I have. Particularly rattlesnakes.
They like to crawl inside of transmitters.
It's nice and warm.
And some of them get across a power supply inside a transmitter.
They only do it once. And they make a mess.
Yeah, I don't know. They have a transmitter goes off the air, and you show up at the site, and you open it up, and there's a snake or some other critter. You know, actually, I saw, and I got pictures of this, at an AM radio station in one of the tuning houses, a raccoon had got in there and got electrocuted. And he had the most hacked off expression on his face that you could imagine. I got a picture of it. Do you remember that, Matthew?
That raccoon looked like... he looked angry.
Oh, he was mad. I mean, you could tell he was really, really mad. Yeah, but he was also very, very dead, you know.
Hey, we could run that in an ad and say that I didn't use a TWT 2010 on field day.
All right. He didn't do it. Didn't use a 2010 on field day.
That's why he had that sour look on his face.
We've got somebody on the phone here. I believe it's Larry. Are you there, sir?
I am. This is Larry, NYTX.
And do that call sign again real slow. You went too fast for me here, sir.
November 1 Tango X-ray, and operating up here just outside of Fairbanks, Alaska.
Oh, very good. And are you operating as an individual, or are you part of a group or club?
We're part of the Two Rivers Contest Club. Two Rivers is a little community about 20 miles east of Fairbanks. And today we're having a banner day. We have six operators on station, and we're running Class 4E. So we got some generators going and plenty of batteries, and it's actually one of the best turnouts for a field day I've seen up here, and I've been living up in Fairbanks for about 11 years.
Goodness gracious. Well, let me ask you a question. How big is your club? How many folks do you have in your organization?
Well, the regular members, we have about half a dozen, and then, we pick up some stragglers now and again. In fact, today we have Phil Savi, KL8DX, who drove all the way up from Healy. That's about 2 hours south of Fairbanks. The others are locals. We've lost some members, people coming and going. We're always happy to see some new faces, too. We have a new ham, KL2TI, who just got his license less than a month ago. And so he's pretty jazzed about it. And, then we have some old experienced hams like me, and N6PU is here. She moved up recently from California, so we're just having a good time.
And your field day this year, you say there's about six members in the club. Do you have more than six folks there at the field day location?
Right now, we actually have seven. And all of them are licensed, who are on site, but we have six in the shack. Well, I stepped out, of course, to talk to you. And, so we have four transmitters on the air. We're operating VHF as well as several bands on HF, and we're trying out a new station configuration. The Two Rivers Contest Club, we're kind of an experimental club. We do get on during the contest, but we like to try new technologies and new
new operating procedures and things like that. So we're having a blast today. If somebody comes up with an idea, everybody says okay, and we're off doing it.
Well, that sounds good. What kind of antennas have you got up today?
Well, today our tri-bander is up at 55 feet, and that's a Force 12 C3. Works very well. It's fixed mounted on the side of a 140-foot tower, pointed right at stateside. And then we also have a delta loop covering 80 through 10. We're operating primarily on 80 and 40. There we have a 40-meter dipole up. We have one gentleman here who's operating a little buddy pole and an FT-897. And then we have, like I said, we have some VHF equipment on. So it's working out very well. I wish more people were on VHF, though. That's a little slow.
Well, you know, your club, we're going to put your name down, and you could win one of these TW2010 backpacker antennas that are made by Trans World Antennas.
That and sounds this, sweet. I'll tell you what, we do a lot of camping and backpacking up here, and that sounds like that would go along for the ride for sure.
Well, this thing sets up in about maybe, what, 2 minutes, you know? And
right.
If you go up to the website, you can
set up and take down when the bear comes after you.
There you go. If you go up on the website, you can see a video. My son David posed for this Hilton Head Beach, and they took a video.
Oh, okay. I will certainly check that out. By the way, I heard the gentleman before talking about critters and raccoons and whatnot. Well, this morning as I was getting ready, we had a bull moose in the yard, and he was eyeing me very carefully, so I had to step gingerly around him. But so far, no bears or raccoons either.
Oh, do you think he was wanting to do some field day operations by any chance?
I thought his antlers might load up on 2 meters. But, he kind of eyed me carefully, and I eyed him carefully. So far, so good. We've got great weather, and just having a good time today.
Those antlers might make a good phased array on 70 centimeters, though. You never know.
I think you're right. Well, his antlers were still covered in velvet, so I'm sure they were conductive.
I just wanted to ask him a couple of questions, really unrelated to radio, but I want him to tell us what the weather was like there. I'm going to guess he's probably in the low 60s, but let him tell us the weather. And then I also wanted to know, what do you eat in Alaska for field day?
Well, as a matter of fact, I'll answer that question first because I just finished some pizza. It wasn't moose pizza, but occasionally we do have moose pizza. Let's see, some basic kind of stuff like everybody else. Weather-wise, it's actually turning out to be a very fine day. It is in the mid-60s, and it's clearing up now. It's been cloudy most of the day. It was about 40 degrees this morning. Anyway, it's just a perfect day. We managed to avoid the rain and all that stuff like we've been having the last few days. And it's not 60 below, so that's good.
All right.
Yeah, that's that old Johnny Horton song, when it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below. So you wonder, what would it be in the summertime?
Oh, he's probably...
our weather up here is just amazing. It'll be 60 or 65 below in January. June, it'll hit 75, sometimes 80 degrees. We've had several days like that. Of course, we live for summers. They're just all too short. And doing antenna work when it's that cold can be a real problem. So we try to make the most of it.
Well, sir, I thank you for calling and joining us. It's interesting hearing from Fairbanks, Alaska.
Well, thank you so much. And all the gang here at the Two Rivers Contest Club, wish you well, and I appreciate your interest.
All righty. Thank you so much for calling.
All right, 73.
Good luck on winning that antenna, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. There you go. Moose pizza.
Moose pizza.
Yeah.
I don't know. That might be a little gamey for me. I'm going to stick with the pork barbecue.
But just think, you could make the statement like this. You could put it like this. You could say, that's the moose pizza I've had in a long time. You know? You think that would work? Oh, that's really bad. Oh, man. So do we go back to the 40-meter dipole? I don't.
You know it was bad. It made Dave laugh.
Oh, and there's two Daves here. We have this is Dave Wilson, and then we have Dave Sparks over here. And I guess now between the two, we have two Daves in the room with us.
We're holding Sparks in reserve for the wee hours. About the third time you hit red alert, we'll call him into action.
Yeah, he can tell. He's going to tell some good stories. I have
getting fueled up.
Yeah. Stay away from the generator fuel. Yeah, that's. Is there something waiting right now? Or, okay, all right, very good, very good. I just want to make sure. I don't like it when we got folks waiting on the phone.
Hey, Ted. Let me ask you the loaded question. You. Putting it to these clubs, what's the most exciting thing that ever happened to you on the CUSO show?
The most exciting thing on CUSO? I don't know. I really don't know. It's, you know, I have such a dull, uninteresting life. You know, I kind of stay out of the middle of things. You know, I can't think of anything really offhand that just. I think probably being. Being at the Huntsville broadcast, I think, was the most exciting broadcast we ever did. Most fun broadcast we did, you know.
Now, you, some of the listeners don't know, but you host another show that's a little bit of the strange and bizarre called Radio Disclosure.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a show where you had some guys on there with PhDs, and they would help you get in touch with the fairies and leprechauns and things that were in your house. You don't consider that to be rather exciting?
Are you talking about things that go bump in the night?
Yes.
No, that's a radio show called Radio Disclosure. I'm just having a little fun with the background music there. And we do... Gosh, I mean, anything that comes along goes on the air.
You have no shame, do you?
No, absolutely not. No, those guys were serious. They got a PhD, and he was telling us how you can talk to fairies and gnomes, and you can see them. And he talked about having one over for Thanksgiving, and the poor little guy was so overwhelmed by the mashed potatoes, he fell face first into the dish. Did you hear that show?
I did. I thought it was a April 1st hoax, but then... So it wasn't on April 1.
I've got Gary Morgan on the phone here, a friend of mine. Gosh, Gary and I go back